you have seen in the text that we have the baptism of Jesus Christ, and something we don't want to rush, but I want to approach it in a way that we have been thinking about Jesus. We've been thinking about his birth and why we celebrate his birth, and that really we have seen how unique he is, the Son of God sent from heaven, and his beginnings were from heaven. It's not just like a prophet who raised himself, and so that those who have to hold to these prophets who just emerged by himself, so their salvation is in jeopardy. That was what I was saying. So, but because our salvation is with Christ, who is from heaven, the one who is so unique in every aspect, and we trace him, and then that is why we wouldn't want to go over just his baptism, just because it's just a well-known story that we know. Oh, it's okay. But today I just want to tell you why it is important that Jesus had to be baptized, even though the mighty one, to be baptized by the one who is lesser than him, according to the words of John the Baptist himself. Why Jesus had to do this. And straight away, Jesus, we read from verses 3. So my sermon will be just like in three parts. I'm not intending to be very long. I pray to the Lord that I be brief and just to the point. And the thing is, we have three things we have here designed, and I designed as the baptism itself, the coming of the Holy Spirit, and the message of God saying something about Christ. So now we have in verse 13, Jesus coming. Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. That is one verse is gone, isn't it? But let me just explain it to you. Jesus coming all the way from Galilee. From Galilee, traveling 70 miles. Just see even the time now, Jesus rising up and beginning that journey to go to John the Baptist, where John is calling people to repentance. And people who were coming out, they were people who had the desire to live for God. That is why they were drawn out. They were coming. They had a heart. They want to be righteous. That is why they accepted the call. And so driven by the grace of God, and then they went out. They were not afraid to go out. They were not hiding themselves. You see, because with the baptism, so he was calling people to repentance. And with that, if you don't repent, there is judgment, isn't it? There is judgment with the lack of repentance and not coming to God is there is judgment. And today, that is what is happening in the world. Oh, I cannot believe in God. It is okay. Well, there is judgment for those who choose not to believe in the Son of God. And even those who want to live wrongly in sin, so there will be judgment for that. And we see Jesus moving from there, coming out to get to Jordan to be baptized. First of all, Jesus coming, that journey means, of course, we know he is going to start his ministry, but that means also Jesus, our Savior. He has his salvation on his mind. Now this is the time. I'm going moving now. The heaven, the kingdom of God is approaching. And those who are going to attach themselves to him will never be the same once and for all. And I think we will see that, isn't it? With the disciples and then the disciples after him, after Christ. And to generation, 2,000 years. And the message of the gospel has been influencing people's life, transforming lives, bringing people out of their sins and filling them with the Holy Spirit, giving them a new way of life, a new vision and confidence in why they exist in this world. Well, Jesus coming to be baptized by John, and for him to come and to be baptized along with others in Jordan. People who were coming, they had sin, isn't it? But Jesus without sin. And why he had to come? So he wanted to identify himself with his own people. Now Jesus, our representative, so he want to be one with us all the way. You need to remember that Jesus himself, he bears our sins, isn't it? So he was coming to identify himself with us and going through that process of being baptized. Really, not even without sin, himself without sin, and yet, because he, the sinless Christ, he will bear our sins as well. He will die on the cross and he will just take our sins on himself, upon himself, on the cross, and just die there. And so here he wants to be with us from the very beginning. But this is a step further. Even if you go before that, even for him to assume human nature. You see, the Hebrews tells us he wants to share the children with flesh and blood so that he can redeem us. So that is why I trust Jesus. That is why you trust Jesus. That is why you are to boast in him alone. Because he is the one who has loved you so much. The one who has loved me so much that he would want to go to come where I am. You see, where I was just there with John the Baptist, trying to know God. You see, trying to come to God and to say, here I am. Do wash away. Because baptism is the washing away of our sins, symbolically. So Jesus must first be identified with his own people, the righteous one. And of course, in verse 14, you will see how John will try to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you and not you come to me. See, this is the humility of a man of God, isn't it? He knew that Jesus is the one who is going to baptize with fire and the Holy Spirit. And yet, and so he identified this. He see this. He knows that Jesus, the Lamb of God, the one who will take away the sins of the world. And yet, he was like he could see that, the greatness of Christ. You see, he could see that. And we all of us in the service of the Lord, we can be proud, isn't it? We can think that we are something. But even John the Baptist himself, he could see the fact that he was who he was, just simply because of the grace of God, isn't it? The men of God in the Bible, they teach us that. They teach us that. Moses said, oh, I can't speak, isn't it? We'll find someone else. You see, who can serve God? Who can serve God? And John the Baptist here is just revealing this, the humility of a man of God, a great man of God, who would say, I'm not worthy, I'm unable, I cannot even serve God. And maybe you also, you can say that, but how about if God's in his will, as he ordained John to do that very ministry? You see, it's the same God. Also, he can take hold of someone like you also. But you need to recognize that it's out of your weakness, you see, and then God's powers might be revealed through you. And then that was the attitude of all the great men of God in the Bible. We see even Apostle Paul, he said, I'm the least. I have persecuted the church. I'm not worthy even to serve Jesus. But again, he said, only thing I have is the weakness. So I boast in my weakness so that all the power that will be revealed will be from God. See the humility of God's people, men of God. Gideon, in Judges, he said, I'm the least of my tribes. I cannot even deliver God's people. You see, but God said, mighty man of valor. He empowered him and he led Israel to a victory. So this is the ways of God. And those who want to serve God, they need to have John's likes attitude. One thing really we didn't talk about, his clothing, isn't it? So, but what I want to say briefly is, this is the prophetic lifestyle, isn't it? Prophetic lifestyle. You see, living differently, wearing different clothes. You see, maybe the Christian church, maybe they wanted to do that. That is why the pastor would want to wear like different gowns and collars and things like that. But that is not the way. So John the Baptist tried to deter Jesus, but Jesus would insist and would say that let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. So what is the righteousness that Jesus is trying to fulfill? Why Jesus here is saying simply that this has been ordained by God. And I'm the Son of God who came to please my Heavenly Father, to obey him in every aspect, everything that he has ordained, I must go through this. You see, in identifying himself with his own people, loving his own to the end, and also here doing this double duty, pleasing his Heavenly Father, pleasing God, you see, and also here doing what is right, really, for him. Now, Jesus Christ himself, fulfilling all righteousness, being right with his heavenly Father, and having the right attitude toward the service of his Father and the service of his own people. So he is faultless, faultless. He kept the law himself. He obeyed his heavenly Father. He loved his own to go with them all the way. That is the fulfillment of all righteousness. Well, the last part, and we see this. We see why Jesus is my hero, why Jesus is my Savior, why Jesus is, I should hold to him, because Jesus is unique in his love for you and I, and that he would want to be close to you and to say, do not be ashamed. I come where you are, and I'm going to take all your sins, and now I'm going to baptize you later with the fire of the Holy Spirit. And so that is why Jesus has to go through all these things. And John the Baptist, as a man also who is fulfilling all righteousness, he consented. You see, but the thing that I want to spend like the last 5, 7, 6 minutes on is these last things. So we have the baptism. We see it's symbolic. It's just like the washing of away of our sins. You see a desire to change our identity and to be God's people. That is why Christians, after being born again, you have to be baptized. It's a public declaration that I want to follow God now. I'm a different person. I belong to a different camp. That is why in the first century, baptisms were really big events, because they were done at a public square, because the enemies of Christians would see clearly. And that was a desire from a Christian, that whatever befalls the Christians, I will be part of them. I will not even be hiding. I will be one of them. I will be persecuted. And I will be willing to die with them. You see, that is why people would want to be baptized like that, because it was a serious thing to be a Christian. And even today, you see, it should be a serious thing. In the things we profess, the way we live, the our worldview, you see, our praise, our lifestyle, our giving, our love, our sacrifice. You see, the focus of our life is to bring glory to Christ, you see, in every aspect. I told this story, a Southern Sudanese lady who came to know Jesus. And so in her family, she was the only Christian. And it was so hard for her. And her father wouldn't want her to go to church, you see, at all. But she persevered. And then when her dad was passing away, and then her dad called her and said, my daughter, I'm passing away now, and no one will protect you. I was to you like a god, but now you have to follow your god. I'm dying, you see. So this lady, one day, she went to visit her uncles. And then suddenly she was prompted by the Holy Spirit to go back to her own place, because her older brother was really dying. He had something to do with his tooth, and was like, he was just like dying. And so this lady, she was prompted by the Holy Spirit. She started rushing, like travel, like walking 5 hours. And then she got there at the sunset. As she got there, it was quiet, you see. And then she said, where is everybody? She said, well, mom told her, your brother is dying. And then she went. And his brother was not a Christian. And they were slaughtering to whatever all the gods, they were offering to all the gods, and you see, of the land. And so this lady came. When she came, she stood behind, and then she started praying even from a distance. And then she got there, and then they said, oh, Rebecca is here. And then she started to pray. When she started to pray and prayed and prayed, really, suddenly, her brother said, get me a chair. He was just lying down, really, bleeding. And then he got up, and he sat. And he said, send all these people away, and all the meats that were offered to foreign gods, just take them away. They were all taken away. And then in the morning, he said, I want to be baptized. I want to follow Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And not only that, even if my cattle could be baptized, I want them even to be baptized. You see, so she wants everything. I'm just saying this because everything we have as Christians has to be dedicated to the glory of God and to the glory of Jesus Christ. And that is what Jesus really saying. He said it is proper for us to do this. It's proper to fulfill all righteousness, to stand right with God, and also to give our people hope for that. So the last things I want to share is as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. So three things happened. So first thing, the opening of heaven. And I want to say something about it. And the descent of the Spirit. And then the divine proclamations that Jesus is the Son of God. These three things I want to finish with. So the first things that when Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heavens was open. Heavens was open. Dear friends, heaven can be opened. We have seen it here, and it can be opened for you too today. So the opening of heavens is a phenomenon in the Bible, in the Word of God, that speaks of God breaking through, God opening up his throne, really to commune with man here on earth. We've seen this. And here God to open heavens, really saying there is something. Really, God now is about to move and to do something. Because that is what he does always. Whenever he wants to do something, the heavens opens. He's opening his throne to do something. And now the heavens is open. And we have seen this in the Old Testament. We have seen how Ezekiel saw the heavens being opened. Ezekiel 1:1 says, he said, I saw the heaven open. And he had a vision from God. In the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day, while I was among the exiles by the Kibar River, the heavens opened and I saw visions of God. And so heavens was opened, and this man, Ezekiel, saw the visions of God. Heaven can be open also. Even at the prayer of a person, even Elijah prayed that it shouldn't rain, and the heaven was shut, and it didn't rain. In the New Testament, we see heavens being opened as well. You see in Acts chapter 6, Stephen, the first martyr, he saw heavens open as he was proclaiming the truth, as he was proclaiming the word of God to the Sanhedrin. And so we are told that this man, as he was speaking, when they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heavens and saw the glory of God. And Jesus is standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven opened and the Son of Man is standing at the right hand of God. So here is Stephen, this man, who was just declaring the glory of God and how God want to save us, and you refuse this, and so you rejected Christ. This man saw heaven opens, and saw Jesus himself personally. So the heavens was open. We see this also in Acts 10, verse 11. We see also with Peter how the heavens also was open. And he saw something amazing. Peter's vision. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. That was when he was sent to Cornelius. And then he became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. So he was just in a bit of a sleep. He saw heavens open and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. So here the heaven being opens. Stephen was seeing that, what was the thing that Stephen was seeing? He saw Jesus standing, approving of his ministry, because he confessed people publicly. That is what most of our theologian will tell us. Jesus is standing. That is the only place, or maybe the second place, where it is said of Jesus being standing. You see, because he sat at the right-hand side of the power of God. And now this man, Stephen, seeing that clearly, and that is Jesus accepting his ministry, Jesus approving of his witness. His face was shining. He did what was right before God, and he finished his ministry. This man also, Peter, who was saying that he cannot even intermingle with Gentiles, he was given a vision. He was being urged in that vision that God is God of both Jews and Gentiles, is God who is the Savior of the whole world. And now you cannot say, you cannot go to this man. Now go. You see, so heavens can be opened. And today my encouragement for you is in our prayers, when we pray, when God moves to bless you and to answer your prayers, what he does, he opens heavens, isn't it? You have access. That is why we can enter into the throne of God. That is what Hebrews teaches us. Because of Jesus, because what Jesus has done, identifying himself with us, bearing our sins on the cross. And Isaiah 53 shared this at length. You see, we can have confidence to come to the throne of God to be open for us. So the throne of God, heavens, can be open for us to receive answers for our prayers. Where do you get your answers to your prayers? You get them here on earth? You see, where do you get them? You get them from God or from someone else? And so when you get them from God, how do you get them? How do you get to be blessed? It's God opening heavens, isn't it? And just pouring out his grace upon you. One thing I want to tell you, because our faith is so mysterious, isn't it? It's a faith that you cannot even try to assess with your mind, just simply. Someone, I keep referring to this, you are praying for God to bless your ministry. You have these young people in your boarding, in your ministry. You are helping out, and you want God to provide for their rent. You see, and then you would pray, and maybe in Thailand or somewhere in Asia, and then God will move someone in Singapore, and really to bless your ministry and to support your ministry. God opens heavens, you see, and then he communes with us, and he touches our hearts. And so if we are not interacting in a manner that we see God moving and blessings, you see, then we have problems. We are not penetrating. We are not getting to heavens. We are not really in touch with God. Because it's God who moves us, you see. So one of the things, like where I was coming from, you don't go to people and ask them for things. You see, you pray, and God, because they are praying and you are praying, God will move their hearts. And they do whatever they, you see, want to do. And so if that is not happening, and then we need to penetrate, we need to pray more, we need to repent, and we need to say to the Lord, please make me free, cause me to be free to hear you, and so that heavens can be open. And we see this in the example of Christ here. When the heavens opens in this story, what happened? The Holy Spirit came down, isn't it? You see, that was for Jesus. You see, when the heavens opens, what was that God was wanting to do? He wanted to affirm that this is my divine Son. He wanted to say, this is your Savior. Because quickly he would say, like the Holy Spirit came, descended down from heavens and rests on Christ. You see, not everywhere else, but coming on Jesus, fulfilling the Old Testament prophecies that the Holy Spirit will come upon him. Isaiah 11, you see that? The Isaiah 61, you see? The Holy Spirit is upon me because the Lord God has anointed me to go and set the captive free. Isaiah 11 is like the Spirit of God, the Spirit of understanding and power. This is the Spirit that Christ will carry. And when you are going to be baptized with this Spirit, you will display these fruits of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Galatians 5. And so the coming of the Holy Spirit, that will signify in Christ the commandments of his ministry, and that he is the divine Son of God. And when he comes to save you, so you need to know that he is the Son of God. He came from heavens, and is only Son of God who can save us. The one from God, not some self-appointed prophets or anyone from here, from earth, you see, who who we cannot trace his origins, but we can trace the origins of our Savior Jesus Christ. And he said, "This is my son. This is the voice, the message of God. The heaven opened, the message of God, the heavens from heaven saying, 'This is my son, the one who has fulfilled all righteousness, the one who is obedient, the servant of God, the divine servant of God who is coming, and the one who will carry the government of the world on his shoulders.' And those who will put their trust in him, they will never be put to shame." I want to press upon your heart today that you seek to commune with God and really to penetrate into the heavenly place and to have your prayer request before God and to receive answers for these prayers. Because that is God's desires. The heaven now is open through Christ. You can come with boldness and ask God for deliverance and ask God for blessings and ask God to transform your life and ask God to speak to you about matters that really are important to your heart. This even where he wants to send you or who to marry and where to live. You see, who to be your friend. All these things God can speak to you about. And that is why God has to confirm this so that we do not have any doubts that our salvation is not secure. Our salvation is secure. And so you are to be at rest that you have come to the right one, to the Son of God, whose ministry is perfect. And you can come boldly into the throne of God through him because he has decided and he is committed to his ministry. That is why he had to leave the place where he was, recognizing the time, that this is the time now for him to move. And this is the time right now. Jesus Christ is on the throne. And he wants to bless you, want to bless me. He want us to hear his voice. He wants us to be led by his Holy Spirit. And that is why we can have this confidence. Because God is pleased with him. And there is nothing that God will hide from him. And that there is nothing that God will not give us on his own account. That is why we can be at rest to see the fact that Jesus, at every step, really he declares his love for us. He declares his love for us even in these small ways that looks like insignificant. But actually, that was the commencement of a great ministry. You will see later on, we will go through these texts, really he will commence his ministry. That will be characterized by the power of the Holy Spirit, authority over demons and principalities. And he will give us this authority, isn't it? He said, "This confer to you, those my followers, because these signs and wonders shall follow those who believe in him." How is your heavens going? Is the heaven has been so close for so long for you? Well, I just want to encourage you. It might look closed now, but it might open if you pray, if you trust, and if you continue persevering. Just imagine if these people, 1 year before Christ commencing his ministry, or 3 years or 5 years, took to actions and proclaimed a different salvation. They would have missed the true salvation, isn't it? Exactly the same thing. Do not resign to the things that may look good if the heaven is not open. Wait. If it tarry, it will eventually be opened as you persevere in praise and in trust of Christ. But you need to fulfill all righteousness and you need to be desiring to trust God, to please God, and to love God. And that is what we have here. We see the apostles themselves later on. They will be filled with all this power. And then they will be going about being baptizing. One of the thoughts that came to my mind was the fact that John the Baptist was not baptized, isn't it? He was not baptized. And why? Why he was not baptized? He was not sent to be our Savior, isn't it? You see, it's only our Savior will be baptized like us. You see, to say, I love you. I want to go where you are. That is why John the Baptist was not baptized. And the disciples also were not baptized, isn't it? You see? The disciples were not baptized, but they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit like us. That is God doing. If there is anything in your heart that you need to bring to God so that your heaven will not continue being closed, I encourage you to bring it before God. If there is anything you are aware of that would hinder, as the Bible says, that God saying, your prayers, your sins have closed the heavens, and that is why I'm not hearing you. You have not fasted as I commanded. You see, you've been praying for the wrong things. So how are you going with that? How are your relationships? Are you proud? Are you rebellious? Are you self-centered? Do you love Jesus with all of your heart? If he calls you to do something, will you do it? That's real will signify, will show how your heaven will look like. So that you can have this divine proclamation. Well done, my faithful servant. So we can have this approval from God. Because we have seen this. God has done it with Stephen. You see, he has done it himself with Christ. When he was finishing his ministry, it's finished. He finished. How is your heavens going? Are you desiring to come before God and really humble yourself and confess your sins? You want to cease from any activities that would want to really bring wrath of God on you? Are you born again? If you are not born again, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Even this morning, you will be saved. And then you will have access into the throne of God. And you will have your life being transformed. Because Jesus bore all our sins on the cross of Calvary. And we can trust him. Let me pray.